You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Man, I'm absolutely thrilled that you're here today. I know that God wants to minister to you. I know that God wants to speak to you this morning here at Eternity Church. I believe with all my heart that God is a sovereign, provident God, and that before time began, He had, in His providence, decided that it would be good for you to be inspired and reminded of His goodness here at Eternity Church today. And so I know He's going to bless you today. If you're new here, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here. Just one of the great, one of the great team we've got here. We've got an incredible team of people here, excited to love you and welcome you to eternity. If you are new, straight after the service, if you could run out to the lobby immediately to your right, we've got a team of people waiting to give you one of these welcome boxes. This is just a box full of just great gifts in there, just to say thank you for coming to church today. There's a couple of t-shirts and a journal and whatever else, and I'm gonna give this one to you, my friend. God bless you. And so you can just go out there straight after the service, get your welcome box. We just believe at Eternity Church that you should leave blessed in every area of your life, physically, spiritually, materially, amen. So just run and get that after the service. Has anyone in here ever made a mistake? Yeah, you've made some mistakes before. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I know you have. No, don't do that. You may take your seats. We're going to preach a word this morning. Man, I can feel the energy in the room today. We've got, I think I know what it is. I think the medical diagnosis of the energy in the room today is the snow-free Sunday energy. It doesn't even feel like a Sunday because it's not snowing this year. And it feels like it only snows on Sundays in 2019, right? Anyone else got that feeling? But I tell you what, I thank God that there's no snow today. I thank God that you're here. Because I just really believe with all my heart that today's message is really going to bless you and your family and your life, that you're going to find some freedom from some garbage that has been plaguing you for a long time today. So I really am glad that we're all here. But like I said before, I know that there's some people in here who have made a mistake. Anyone? Just give me a hand if you have made a mistake. Yeah? Yeah. Anyone in here ever have a bad reputation? Yeah? Yeah, you've got some stories that you don't want to get up here and tell on the stage. Yeah, anyone got some of those stories in their lives? Or a past that you're not particularly proud of? Then this message is for you today. All right. If you can say yes to one of those things, if there's a story in your life that you don't want to tell, then this message is for you. I imagine that every person here who's over the age of 6 months has made some kind of mistake, right? Yeah, and you know, some kind of error, whether it be a sin in your life or whether it be, you know, just something you could have handled better, or a business deal that you should have walked away from or shouldn't have walked away from, maybe a financial opportunity that you wish you took, or maybe just somebody you wish you spoke better to. We've all got some things we wish we could change, am I right? Yeah, I'm glad you all are awake. It's good preaching to an awake crowd, right? If you're new here, by the way, I do need to let you know that I perform better when people are yelling at me. I grew up that way. My daddy used to yell at me, and I just got used to doing better when people yell at me, all right? But in all seriousness, I don't want to be preaching to a church that's just sitting in the crowd saying, entertain me, preacher boy. No, I want to be in a church where the people are going and preaching with me, amen, and saying, amen, that's good. Preach if it's good, right? So I'm just glad that we're there today. So anyway, but we've all made mistakes, haven't we? Every single one of us. And today you're going to see that no big mistake is too big for God's redemption. And no small mistake is too small for God's attention, all right? And we're going to go to Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 to 24. It's a big chunk of scripture, but it's a really exciting story. So I want you to pay attention, listen up. This story will bless your life. Joshua chapter 2, are you ready? Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there. Like this story just starts straight up with, and they went and stayed with a prostitute, right? Like, how many stories in the Bible have hookers in them, right? Like, there's like a hooker in nearly every story in the Bible. Have you noticed that? I'm thinking one day we need to preach us to do a whole sermon series called Hookers of the Bible. There's like 20 sermons right there, right? Get half my year done just by preaching that series. What do you reckon, right? And then verse 2, the king of Jericho was told, look, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Yo, Rahab, bring out the men who came to stay with you and entered your house because they have come to spy out our whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly so that you may catch them. But she had actually taken them and hidden them on the rooftop of her house under some stalks of flax that she laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, Rahab went up to the roof and said to them, hey, I know that God has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen upon us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea when you come out of Egypt, and what you did at Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted in fear. Everybody's courage failed them because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven and on earth below. Church, I'm excited when people in the world have heard what God is doing here, right? What God is doing for his people. We have heard and we know that the Lord your God is God in heaven and on earth. Verse 12. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. And then the men replied, our lives for your lives. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. And that in itself is a message for another day. But she lived in the wall that came what? Tumbling down. But her house didn't come tumbling down. What happened there? That's an incredible message for another day, and I won't get distracted by it now because usually I get distracted by squirrels and everything, but not today. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord, this red cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you brought your father and mother and your brothers and sisters and all your family into your house, if any of them go outside your house, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in your house with you, their blood will be on our heads if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath that you made us swear. Agreed, she said. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All their people are melting in fear because of us. Isn't that a fascinating story? Right? I love this story. One of my favorite stories in all the Word of God. But today I want to talk to you about the redemption that we find in this story. Not just the victory, but the redemption that's found in this story. Now, when you think about redemption and this story, it's easy to assume that the person who has made the biggest mistake is the one who needs the redemption. So it'd be easy to assume that Rahab is the one that's finding redemption because she's the hooker in the story. Right? And I can understand that. Or it would be just as easy to look at the mistake from decades earlier when Moses approached the same land and sent Joshua, Caleb, and 10 strong men to spy out the land. And then Joshua and Caleb and the 10 men, they came back. Joshua and Caleb said, "We can surely take the land. God has given it to us." But the 10 strong men all said, "We are like grasshoppers in their sight." And so Israel this time was covered in fear and they ran away. They made a mistake and they ran away. You know what, church? I'd rather 2 faith-filled men than 10 muscly men any day of the week. Amen. And young ladies, by the way, that's who you want to marry. The faith-filled men, not the muscly men. Or a muscly faith-filled man, right? That's what my wife got. But then he died and she married me. Wow, someone said. The Israelites walked away. There was a mistake, right? And yes, we are reading the redemption story of that mistake. As Joshua, who is now the leader of all of Israel, he sent 2 spies from the land. But it's not the redemption story I want to talk to you about right now. I want to talk to you about what happened at Shittim, all right? Verse 1 said that from Shittim they sent out the spies. What is with Shittim? Earlier in Scripture, the Israelites are committing idolatry. They're committing adultery. They're engaged in prostitution and ritual worship prostitution at Shittim. Shittim is the place where the Israelites were behaving badly, making every mistake under the sun. No one forced them. No one made them do it. They did it all willingly. They chose to mess it all up, right? Now, I know sometimes, you know, I don't know if they have this saying over here. Do they have this saying in America, "Dolly did it"? Like, is that a thing over here? No, in Australia, little girls would blame it on the dolly, right? Their little dolly. And they'd be like, "Dolly did it," right? And that was the joke in Australia. Well, did Dolly do it? No, Dolly didn't do it, right? Or the dog ate my homework, kind of thing like that, right? And like, people will say things like, "Oh, I fell into sin." I don't know about you, but I've never fallen into sin. I've gone like this, "Yippee, let's do it." Anybody else, right? Every single time I've messed up, that's exactly how it happened. I never tripped over and like, "Oh, I'm in sin." No, I did it willingly. I jumped in both feet, sometimes head first. That's how it happened. That's exactly what's going on here for all of Israel in Shittim. They are intentionally messing it all up. Now, that's not bad news. That's good news for you. That's good news for me. Because today's redemption story begins in that valley, in that place where they messed up. The place where they rebelled, where they hurt themselves, where they hurt each other, where they on purposely offended God is exactly where the redemption story begins. And it's from that place, from the place where they made their worst mistakes, that God sends them out into the promise. Shittim was where they screwed everything up. And from Shittim is where God releases them into the promise. See, it's not that God rewards bad behavior or that God loves it when we make mistakes. Not at all. It's that His power is so much greater than your behavior. It's that His sovereignty is so much stronger than your weakness. And His love for you is so much more pure than your love for sin. And so He will take your greatest mistakes and He'll use them to make a fool of the devil and show the world that God is powerful and sovereign in Jesus' name. Because any heart that humbles itself before God and admits, "God, I need you," any heart that can admit, God, I need you, will be restored, blessed, and set up to live the blessed life that God designed for them. Because that's just the way it is. And it's the way that it'll always be. God will always take your valley and use it to usher you into the promise. Yeah, that is way better than that clap. That one person's clap was right, but your clap, right? Come on. See, everything the devil throws at you, God's going to use to bless you. Every single thing that the devil throws at you, God will use it to bless you, right? Every single thing. But this story gets better and better and better. As we read on, the spies left the place where they were engaged in prostitution, and God sent them another prostitute named Rahab. Earlier on, the devil sent prostitutes to destroy them, but now God sends a prostitute to deliver them. Your greatest sin could become your greatest victory. Your greatest sin could release you into your greatest promise, into your greatest purpose. And it's about time that you stop being ashamed of your past. It's time to embrace your story and allow God to redeem it in Jesus' name. See, if you don't embrace your story, there's no opportunity for God to get the glory. We got to say, yeah, I did this. And then look what God did with it. Amen. See, all you got to do is get humble. Admit that you need him. Admit that I need him. Offer up our greatest mistakes to God and ask him to use them for his glory. Because the grace of God is unstoppable. Absolutely unstoppable. Maybe your mistake wasn't even sin. Maybe it was a business mistake that you wish you did differently. Maybe it was an error. Maybe it was a purchase. Maybe it was a bad deal, something that the devil still wants to hurt you with. But God is going to use your sin, use your mistakes, and he's going to use it to slap the devil's face so hard, he's going to do a 360. Just like he used the place of Israel's sin to destroy their enemy, right? Shittim was home base for the destruction of their enemy. The day is coming where you will march into the enemy's camp and take back the dignity that the devil stole from you. Amen. The day is coming where you'll march into the enemy's camp and take back the purpose that the devil convinced you that you don't deserve. Take back the faith that he made you doubt. Shittim will bless you. Shittim will bless you because God is into redemption. God is into making a fool of what the devil and the world says makes sense. Scripture says, see, that's all Old Testament, right? We're reading an OT story, right? I want to show you something else. New Testament, verbatim, all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. All of the things. Hey, anyone in here love the Lord? Come on, give me a wave if you love the Lord. Put your hand up. Be proud of it. Do you love the Lord? Then everything will bless you. Everything. All things will bless those who are called according to God's purposes, those who love the Lord. Imagine being the devil, right? How frustrating must it be? You're the devil, not you, right? But just imagine you're the devil for a minute. And everything you throw at people ends up blessing them. How frustrating would that be, right? Like you've got a gun and you shoot at them and every time all you're shooting is love hearts and rainbows. And you're like, I know that's not what I put in this thing. It was lead. Why are love hearts and rainbows flying out the other end, right? All things work together. All things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord in this place. Now check it out though. Now, God doesn't not love sin. That's not what we're saying here. God does not love sin. God does not encourage sin. In fact, God hates sin and God discourages sin. And we should ask him to help us stay away from sin every day. Lead us not into temptation, right? Like we should be asking God to help us every day. God, what's the next step you want me to take in my life so that I can become more like the person you designed me to be? But church, God loves you far more than he hates sin. I know that for a fact. How do I know that? I love you, but I wouldn't send Judah to die for you no matter what. Right? I just wouldn't. I'd probably let them take all of you before I'd send my son, right? But God hates sin, but loves you so much more than sin that he sent Jesus Christ to die on that cross so that he could have a friendship with you. And God is waiting for you to lift up your eyes, take your focus off your sin, take your focus off your mistake and focus them on him and boldly say, God, take my sin, take my mistakes. All that I have and all that I am, I give to you. Bring redemption in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You need to stop running away from your story. Stop it. Stop running away from your story. Stop living in the shame of your past. Embrace the story. Allow God to be glorified because it's a redemption story. Amen? See, I believe, I believe that God sent them from their place of prostitution into the house of a prostitute to show you and me that our greatest sin is no match for God's grace. No match for God's grace. Think about it. Their greatest place of rebellion and sin and adultery and idolatry, God sends them from there, from what they were in, into the house of another prostitute to show us that no sin is a match for the grace of God on your life. No sin. See, not only will God use what the devil throws at you, but he will also use what you throw at yourself to bless you. The devil will use what you did to shame you, but God will use it to propel you into the purposes that he designed for you, because all things means everything, and everything means all the things, the good things, the bad things, all the things that you did, the things that they did to you, all things. God can get a hold of them. I like to say it like this. God gets wind of the devil's evil schemes and he adds Holy Ghost purpose to it, and it will bless your life. Amen. And it's not the story for everybody. It's the story for those who love the Lord. Amen. But hey, check it out. There's another story unfolding here as well, though. It's not just the story of Israel's redemption. It's also the story of Rahab. You remember her? Rahab, she's the prostitute that welcomed these men into her home. She's the hooker that God used to bring the spies and the Israelites into God's promise. Does God love her occupation? Heck no. Right? God's not into anybody being involved in something that destroys them, that hurts others, right? Like, there's nothing good about that. But does God love Rahab? Abso-flippin-lutely. Absolutely. Does God love the Rahabs in this room and the Rahabs in our city? You bet he does. Are they welcome to come and stand in his presence? You bet they are. If you're God, though, right? If you're God and you're like, I need to find a savior for my people, Israel, right? I'm going to look in Jericho and I'm going to find a savior. Who you going to choose? Probably not Rahab the hooker, right? Like, she's not your go-to answer for savior of the people, right? Like, you're going to find the most righteous looking, muscle bound, just meat axe in all of Jericho, aren't you? But God chose a hooker named Rahab. Someone that no one else would choose. Someone that everyone else ignored as they walked by. Rahab would be walking down the street and the same men who smiled in her bedroom are walking across the street acting like she's a nobody. And don't get me wrong, God loves the guy who walked across the street too, right? They're both welcome in this place. But people were ashamed to be seen with her. People were ashamed to be known by her. Her family has been tarnished by her profession. And everybody knows that Rahab's a hooker and that's all she will ever be. But then one day she has the audacity to tell her family and her extended family and their family that God will save her from the coming war. That God had chosen her? What? This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless we enter the land. And you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and your mother and your brothers and your sisters and all of their family into your house, if any of them go outside of your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads and we will not be responsible. God's chosen me to save you. Who's going to believe the hooker? Who's going to believe the woman with a certain reputation has found favor with people of power, has found favor with a righteous God? She's got a reputation. Some of you have got reputations. Some of you have got bad reputations or had reputations. But something happened this day where she went from hooker to savior. Where she went from the one who brings trouble to the family to the one who covered the window with red cloth, symbolizing the Passover, symbolizing that those who are on the inside of this window, those who are hanging out with me are righteous. And death should pass over and not return. The hooker becomes a savior. Only God's doing that. Only God writes stories like that. Right? And then makes them unfold. They're righteous because they hung out with her. That Passover, that happened years earlier when they came out of Egypt and they'd put blood across the lintels of their windows and doors. And what that represented was the people inside are God's people. The hooker and her family are God's people. What? Is this blowing your mind like a blue mine? Because I'm sitting there and I'm going, it ain't right. It doesn't seem right. They're righteous because they're hanging out with her. What if her brother's wives or her sister's husbands and their families were unwilling to associate themselves with people of low position? Romans 12:16, which wasn't written then, right? So this is thousands of years before this, right? Romans 12:16. Do not be proud, but always be willing to associate with people of low position. There's a lesson in this bit just for us, isn't there? Like, don't act like we're better than people. The verses before this talk about to have a sober mind and judgment on yourself, not to think you're better than other people, right? Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. What if they were unwilling to associate with her? What if they were too proud to associate with the woman who had a certain reputation? What would have happened to them? I'll tell you what would have happened to them. They'd be dead. Straight up dead. Because they wouldn't associate with Rahab. Some of you are right now just realizing what this is talking about. See, you may have a reputation. You may have some sort of past. You may have messed up this morning, but we're not unwilling to associate with you. We don't think that we're better than you. Because for all we know, God wants to use you to bless us. And for all you know, God wants to use us to bless you. We're not going to judge you based on your past reputation. We're not going to judge you based on your profession or what you've done or what you haven't done and what you've got and what you don't have. But some of you are allowing the world to dictate to you what you are and are not able to do or be because of your past reputation. See, but you've been redeemed. You've been set free. You are not what you were. You're not what they say you are. And today, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to change your name, to change your reputation. The one who was known as a hooker became known as the one who saved her whole family and their households. The one who was useless became useful. Amen. The one who was named Abram became Abraham. He meant father. God renamed him father of many. The one who was known as Saul became known as Paul. What have you been known as? Because today, God wants to change your name. Redeem your reputation. Amen. You need to embrace your story. You need to tell the story. Let God get glory for that redemption. But let God say who you are. Your name is no longer Billy Ray who cheated on his wife. Billy Ray's been redeemed. Hallelujah. You're now born again. Scripture says born again. That means it's like you were just born now. Brand new, set apart by God, perfect, made whole, made right, made new. Your past reputation is good for nothing but for telling the story of God's redemptive power. That's it. Hallelujah. If you want to look at your past and try and measure yourself, don't do that. Don't do that. Your past isn't good for that. Your past is good for telling a story of how much God loves and accepts you. If that's how God sees you, isn't it about time that you allow Him to use your past to bless your future? Because that will change your reputation. Right? God already sees you with the scarlet cord hanging over your life. The lintel of your life has been covered in blood. God already sees you as righteous, as perfect, as set apart, as called, anointed, given a destiny. You need to step into that. Church, would you stand up with me? You know, in the world, there's some legislation and some laws against profiting from your crime. You know that? That it's illegal to profit from your crime. So if you were to do something terrible and end up in prison, you're not allowed to make money from a book written about that. You're not allowed to profit from crime. The kingdom of God is so backwards. I don't know, or maybe the world's backwards and the kingdom of God is forwards. You're not allowed to profit from your crime, but in the kingdom of God, you didn't even get a choice. You will profit from your mistakes. Your mistakes have no choice but to bless you and to bring glory to God. Amen. Your mistakes don't have a choice. All things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. They don't have a choice. Right now, for a second, you think about the worst thing you ever did. When God sees that, now all He sees is an opportunity to bless you. Turn that around. It's not God condoning sin. It's not God affirming something right or something wrong is right. It's God saying, no matter what you've done, I will find a way to use it to propel you into and to help you become the person, the man or the woman that I designed you to be. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise if you receive that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you right now are thinking of people that need to hear this message, and you need to tag them in the Facebook post. You need to share the link from our website, myeternity.com. You need to share the link to them. You need to give this to some of your friends because they need to hear this, and they need to come here and worship God in a house where we know that God is going to use every part of their lives to help them become all that He designed them to be. I encourage you to share this message with them. But even just as importantly, right now, I want you to think about your life. Are there things in your past you're allowing to dictate your future? Are there things you've said, things you've done, getting in the way of the call and the anointing of God in your life? Because I can tell you right now, it's not God holding it back. God's not holding your calling back because of something you did back then. We're holding it back ourselves because we don't think we deserve it anymore. But we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the righteous ones deserve all of that. It's time you step away from that trash, that reputation, and step into what God has for you. And I want to encourage you to come down the front for prayer. We've removed a whole row of seats over here so that we've got room to pray for you. So I want to encourage you to come down the front. Let us pray for you. I've got a team of people just pumped, overflowing with faith to pray for you. that God would use your past to bless your future, release you into the calling, the promise of God. You're allowed to live a blessed life. You don't have to do penance anymore. You're allowed to live a blessed life, even though you may have screwed up the life before it. God's going to bless you and bring freedom, my friend. We're going to pray for people down there in a moment. And even right now, someone pray for my friend there. Brandon, can you grab my mate right there? Just pray for him. But before we pray for everyone else, I want to ask people in here, if you don't know Jesus, you need to give him your life right now. All right? If you don't have a friendship with God, you need to fix that today. All things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. There is a caveat in there. You know when people say you reap what you sow and yada, 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 you know, and they say things like that. I tell you what, the blessing comes to those who love the Lord. You need to be a child of God. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to invite the Lord God into your life, and then all things in your past and your future will work together to bless your life. I talked about the scarlet cord in the window. That's what the cross does in your life. That's what the cross is. See, sin has to be paid for. Someone's got to pay the price. Wrongs need to be righted. That's justice. You all have that in your heart. You see something happen on TV and you're like, someone's got to pay. Someone does have to pay, but it doesn't need to be you anymore. God got so sick of being separate from you and from me and from His creation that He sent the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, to earth as a perfect sacrifice to die on that cross to bring us freedom and back into friendship with Him. When we believe in God, and when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, He paints that scarlet stripe above our lives. He puts that blood of Jesus on the lintel of our lives. And then from that moment on, He looks at you and says, you're righteous. Just like Rahab and her family in that window were righteous. If you pray this prayer with me, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be righteous. It's not based on your behavior. Some of you are like, I haven't been a good boy. I haven't been a good girl. I don't even know if I can be a good boy or a good girl tomorrow. Well, praise God, it's not based on your behavior. If there's something in your life that's destructive, if there's something in your life that's offensive to God or hurtful to others or destructive to you, God will speak to you when the time is right, and He'll help you overcome. And He'll help you have victory. And He'll help you become the person He designed you to be. But all we're asking right now is, will you pray this prayer with me and invite Jesus into your life so that you can be righteous too? So that He can make all things work together for your benefit in Jesus' name. So I'm going to pray a prayer one line at a time. I want you to pray it with me one line at a time. I'll say one line, you repeat it after me. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Now you won't be alone. Every single person in this whole room is going to pray this prayer with you. So if every eye could close and every head could bow right now, and I want everybody together, all the people in the room in a bold voice, and especially those who are away from God and those who have never known Him, declare it with me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and you as my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, you can praise the Lord. Give God a shout of praise.